In the words of the great Avril Lavigne, why you gotta go and make things so complicated? Love is a complicated thing, as we've learned. It's B96, it's Moog and Carla Mornings. And I don't know, that maybe it's a little early to use the word love.
But the heart wants what it wants.
Oh, okay, so tell us. Tell us what's going on, Carla. Carla is not, would you say in love?
No. But I definitely like this person very, very much.
Okay, yeah.
And they happen to not live in Chicago.
Okay.
Or in Illinois.
So they're not
in the burbs. Or in the Midwest.
Okay.
Or in the...
Are they in the U.S.?
They're in the U.S.
Okay.
But they're all the way in Arizona.
How many miles do you think that is?
Ooh.
2,000?
I think I
know I put you on the spot with that question, but that is really far. That is not a hop, skip, and a jump. You can't really get in a car and make that drive overnight or
no, you
even
definitely
over two
can't.
Nights.
It is, I just looked it up on my phone, 1,744 miles away.
You know what? The easiest path to get there would be?
What?
Route 66.
Okay.
Which Carla hates
Route
66.
Route 66. But
it's a direct path.
So this guy's like 1,700 miles away.
Okay.
It's like a 4-hour flight. And, we really hit it off.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so he was in town over the weekend. And I was kind of trying to see what the vibes were going to be like.
Sure.
I didn't even know if it was going to be like romantic or not. I just knew he was coming to visit me. And he kept saying like, I'm going specifically to visit you.
Okay, wow.
And I'm like not used to men being very nice to me. So I was like...
So you're thinking, like, usually there's an ulterior, like, hey, I'm coming to Chicago for this. And
you happen to have a place I can stay at.
Yeah.
So I kept being like, hey, I mean, I made these plans for us. Is that okay? And he was like, literally, Carla, you are my plan. So whatever you want to do, you know?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the trip, he was like, hey, just want to let you know that I like you.
Oh.
And I want to, you know... try to date.
Explore this.
Explore what our feelings could be. And I was like, well, I'm really busy. You're really busy. You're really far away. And he was like, I'm willing to make the intentional commitment to talk more and make time to like FaceTime and whatnot.
Wow.
And I was like, wow.
Very, very grown up.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. And so then yesterday, we had, like, such a good FaceTime date.
Oh, well, did you?
It was like, we were just, like, talking on the phone for, like, 2 hours.
Just gabbing, having a good old time.
Yapping. It was like he was in my apartment, and it was also like I was in his apartment.
Okay.
Because he's, like, editing, and he's, like, showing me what he's editing, and then I'm doing the dishes, and I'm folding clothes, and we're just, like, hee-hee-hee talking.
It's just having a time.
Parallel play.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I started really thinking, I'm like, long distance?
That's a long distance.
Long distance.
And there's no, like, you haven't talked about him moving here or you moving there or anything,
No,
right?
Because we just started talking.
Right. So it's not like 6 months or a year or 2 years or five. There's no...
End date.
Yeah.
And then also, like, I feel like when people are doing long distance, what really encourages them to stay faithful and whatnot is because they're in love.
Yeah.
We're not in love.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and what if you want to get some?
Right.
It's 1,700 miles away?
Because I also have other potential suitors that are in the Chicago metropolitan area.
Potential suitors.
I am the bachelorette.
Yeah.
And that are here and that are also trying just as intently. Is that a word?
Intentionally.
Intentionally, thank you. Just as intentionally as this guy is, but the difference is they can
show
come
up.
Over.
Yeah.
So...
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, long distance is, I think, a tough thing, especially if there's no end date. Would love to hear from somebody who has some insight on long distance relationships.
I've heard they never work. I was in a long distance relationship when I was way, way, way younger.
Okay.
And I was not.
How long was it?
I think it lasted like 8 months.
8 months of long distance, okay.
Yeah.
And were both of you faithful in those 8 months?
No.
Okay.
Neither of us.
Well, that's not the best start, but that was a long time ago.
Right, I was like 21.
Younger version of you.
Ago.
Okay, we already have a bunch of people on hold who are interested and willing to talk about their long-distance relationships. So let's get some insight from those who've been down this path. Yeah. Coming up next, it's Moog and Carla Mornings on B96. It's B96 with Moog and Carla Mornings. Carla, considering a long-distance relationship.
I was asked to consider a long-distance relationship.
And keyword there, considering. This is not something she's like, yeah, I'm all in.
Right. Because I like to cuddle.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah, sometimes you need a hug.
Right,
if you had a long day. Wanted to know if there's somebody who has some valuable insight on long-distance relationships. Now, Kara, you, Kara's in Chicago. You have been in multiple long-distance relationships.
Yeah, I do. I've had two, and neither one of them is currently happening, right? They're both ended. Oh. One of them ended nicely. The other one did not.
Oh.
So I've seen, you know, I've seen them go both ways, but I've never seen one last forever.
So let me ask you this. Does the amount of distance matter? In other words, like if it's a 4-hour drive to somewhere in Iowa or if they're like in California, does it make a difference?
I think it makes a difference because it's good. How much money is it going to cost to see them? Mm-hmm. Like, how likely is it? Are they, you know, like if they're 4 hours away, you can meet halfway, right? But yeah. if they're like 2,000 miles away or whatever, that's like a tougher than somebody's getting on an airplane.
And that's the thing is that I would be getting on an airplane. We were talking about that last night and he was like, so when am I going to see you? And then when are you going to see me? And I'm just like, oh, this is going to get expensive really fast, yeah. Isn't it?
I mean, I guess there's always, you know, like a conference call, like a video call you could do.
Yeah, it's not quite
it's
the
not
same.
The same. You know who else I Zoom? No, my not. Boss.
Yeah.
Like,
no, right.
So do you think that, like, is there anything that would help a long-distance relationship? Like, if you, you know, me and my wife were long-distance for a very short time, and we just made sure that we always knew exactly when we would see each other again. Like, we knew how many weekends away that trip would be, or do you need to know if it's ever going to end?
I think that's the trick, is if you know, okay, like this is going to be this way for 3 months or 6 months or like a year and a half. Like if you just have an end game and it's not just permanent, you know, you have like a finish line, then I think it could work because you're both working towards the same thing happening, yeah. Which is to be together.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so cute. See, I don't know if I'm that in.
I think you gotta really love somebody to like make that happen.
Or you could get to know someone and fall in love in the process and then yearn for them until you finally see them.
Sure. Try that.
I am.
But then don't move in with them right away because you've never lived with them. You've never spent any time like seeing them often. And then you're going to be like, oh my God, I didn't realize how annoying this person is.
What was the most annoying thing that you realized about somebody that you saw long distance?
That he had two little catchphrases all the time. He was always like, yeah, baby. He would do it like he just did it sort of like Tourette's or something. No shade on Tourette's. That's different. But like this was like a cartoon, a sitcom character.
Yeah, baby.
So yeah, exactly.
But there's no audience laughing.
I was like, oh God.
So that must be triggering for you now, huh?
Yeah, don't do it.
All right, Kara. Well, thank you for that valuable insight.
Okay.
Okay, so coming up next, we're going to talk to somebody who's sitting on hold who is currently in a long-distance relationship and has been long-distance for 10 years.
No, I don't want to be long-distance for 10 years.
Hopefully you won't. But I'm very curious how you maintain a relationship for a full decade long distance. And we'll talk to him coming up next. It's Moe and Carla Mornings on B96.
In the Loop. With Moe and Carla.
This is Chicago.
On B96.
All right, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
The weekend is here.
And the weather is nice.
Yeah, you know what? Finally, huh?
I'm so excited. I feel like we talk a lot about the weather, but just because we yearn
Nice days. I mean, it's been cold
a long time.
Since late October.
It has.
And even yesterday, it wasn't like super toasty. It just wasn't freezing.
No, but you know what? This weekend's going to be amazing. We've got a lot of really cool stuff lined up in Chicago and most of these are free.
All right, let's check it out. We'll start by spinning the
Wheel of Categories.
Touch grass.
You can touch grass / be outside. This is the Magnificent Mile Art Fest. So right on Mag Mile, yeah. There's going to be a completely free art fest. There's going to be over 60 vendors, a bunch of food, live bands, and this is all happening right outside of like the John Hancock building.
Oh, perfect. So are they closing down Michigan Avenue for this? Or is
yes.
this just, okay, cool.
That'll be like a little area that's completely closed out.
That's sick.
It's going to be awesome, honestly. It's like open air, and then you get to just enjoy the vibes of actual Magnificent Mile as well.
Yeah.
I think it gives you an excuse to come downtown and play tourists.
You know what? And that's one of those things that, like, you get over there and you're like, this actually is fun, you know, when you come down here and check some of this stuff out.
100%. Walk on over to the Bean. But what I like is that they're going to have a lot of art, like, vendors. And so if you've ever wanted to buy art for your home and you're like, oh, you have a lot of stuff from Home Goods, which I love, but you want something a little more original.
Well, something that you're not going to see when you walk into your friend's house.
Yes. Yeah. This is a perfect time to, you know, support local and whatnot. But this is going to be completely free, open to the public, and it's happening tomorrow and Sunday.
All right, perfect. We'll continue seeing what's going on this weekend by spinning the
Wheel of Categories.
Get in my belly. What are we eating?
You know, Chicago loves a good hot dog,
right? That's right.
Windy City Hot Dog Fest is happening this weekend, literally today, tomorrow, and Sunday.
Okay, cool. A whole hot dog fest.
Lots of dogs for everybody. This is going to happen at Milwaukee and Portage Park.
Yeah.
And there's going to be 10 of the city's favorite hot dog vendors all fighting for the title of Chicago's best hot dog.
I mean, that is something.
Yes.
I mean, this is a hot dog town. I wonder, is this a place where either A, there's not going to be any ketchup as far as the eye can see, or is this where maybe people can get a little bit funky with it?
You know what? At the hot dog fest, I think anything goes.
Because you know what? There are those people who refuse to be Chicago in that way. You know what I mean?
And they will put ketchup on their hot dog. You know what? I am people. I put ketchup and, don't fight me, mayonnaise.
I don't like ketchup or mayonnaise in general.
I put both of those on my hot dog, and I'm not afraid to say that I do. There's also going to be a hot dog eating contest.
Okay.
Which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, I've always been so disgusted by that because they soak the buns.
Ew.
Yeah.
But it's to see how many hot dogs you can eat in 5 minutes. So.
Yeah, get it done. You know what? I might take my niece to this because my niece is visiting Chicago, and she had one hot dog. And it didn't have the poppy seed bun.
Uh-oh.
And it was kind of burnt and gross. She was like, wait, this is the Chicago dog everybody has been talking about?
And you're like, no, I swear we could do better. We could do better.
So we'll just take her to a whole hot dog fest.
She's going to find something she likes. There's going to be Chicago-style dogs and every other kind of dog I'm sure that you want.
All right, love it. All right, we'll continue by spinning the
Wheel of Categories. Kids and families.
And another free event. The hot dog one was free too, by the way. Just suggest a donation when you get there. Okay. But this for kids and family, we've got the Kite Festival.
Okay, fun.
Which is exactly what it sounds like. So from noon to 4 tomorrow, Saturday, over at Douglas Park, families are going to come together with their picnic blankets and their kites, and you can fly kites with other families.
Go fly a kite, as they say, and have a blast doing it. And that's always fun because there's big ones, there's small ones, different colors.
100%. And then also, I just think that we talk a lot about how Chicago is a windy city, and we know that it's not actually because it's windy, but it's also a fact that it is windy.
Yeah, it's windy enough to get your kite going.
Perfect kite flying weather. And I think it's also nice to know that you're going to be alongside other families. There's a sense of like protection and fun, you know, where you're looking around and you know your kid's probably going to make a friend.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to make a friend with the parents next to you. You can swap kites and whatnot. There are kites for like $3 to $5 over at Five Below.
Oh,
I know because I have bought kites there before.
And did you go fly a kite?
No, I keep saying that I will.
Yeah, you might as well.
It's collecting dust in my closet.
Well, get it out this weekend. Where did you say it was? Douglas Park?
Douglas Park from noon to 4 tomorrow.
All right, perfect. Sounds great. Look, a lot of things going on this weekend and you don't have to break the bank to do it.
Yes, all of these were free and there's also lots more events, but those are going to be a little paid, I guess.
Sounds good. And
until next week. You're in the loop.
It's
B96 with Morgan and Carla Mornings. All right, so yesterday we shared that my wife wants me to read romance novels in a sexy voice as like a side gig. She's like, I think you'd be great at it. And I was like, I don't know if I have the deep voice that it might require for something like that. And she was like, I don't think you need that.
You could also just read her books to sleep.
Or I can make money.
You can make money. Fine.
So some guidance from somebody by the name of Jarman. Now, we found him. He reads smut books basically for a living.
Like, actually, he gets paid to voice these.
To basically to be sexy. Hello, Jarman.
Hello.
Okay.
Oh. All right. One more time.
Hi.
Hello. All right.
The competition is fierce.
Good luck, Mo.
So listen, Jarman is so you do like Audible and like you read romance novels, is that right?
That's right. I have just over 100 books on Audible now, mostly all romance.
Okay, interesting. So you have a cooler, deeper voice than I do. However, my wife said that that doesn't matter. She thinks that I should be reading these romance novels, too. And so I wanted to, A, get a little bit of advice from you, and B, get some examples of what you sound like when you're getting real sexy.
Demon.
Yeah.
Of course.
So what would you say the key is to effectively and sexily reading?
Especially for romance, just taking your time and imagining yourself in the situation.
Oh!
And being sensual and romantic.
Charmin, do you get all horny when you're doing these reads?
I mean, it helps for certain scenes. You got to get in the mood, you know?
Yeah.
Method acting.
Yeah. My wife was like, this will be great. You'll be in the guest room all horned up reading. And I was like, I don't know. That feels weird. But you probably get used to it, right?
Exactly. After a while, you get used to it, but you can't let it get stale. You got to keep it exciting.
Okay. Is there something to, like, doing it as soon as you wake up, like when you're still kind of tired and got bedroom vibes?
Oh, you mean like right now? Yeah, you got to warm up your voice a little bit, do some warm-ups. They say don't drink coffee because caffeine, like, constricts your voice, but not for me. It just wakes me up and gets me going.
Oh, all right. Gets me going.
How did you first find out that you had a voice sexy enough to do this? Like, did people tell you, or one day were you just, like, walking someone through it and think, wow?
Well, strangely enough, when I was, like, just turned 15, I got this voice, and so I was using it at school to freak my other friends out. We'd be in the bathroom, and someone would be smoking in the next stall next to me in high school. I'd be like, hey, kids, get out of there. And so they'd be freaked out and thinking I was the principal or something.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. How many, like, romance novels do you think you've read?
It's probably been at least over 90 at this point.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's incredible. Very impressive. And I know that that's sort of a category that's growing right now, right?
Oh, it's been growing and growing, and it's probably one of the biggest niche markets of audiobooks that there is. And
would you say it's throbbing?
Oh, gosh.
Sorry. I just feel like that's a word that you would use often.
Can you tell who doesn't read romance?
About 1,400 synonyms for the man's anatomy in these books as well.
Oh, I bet. Again, we're talking to Jarman, who reads romance novels actually as a career because he's got a super cool low voice.
Was that you imitating Jarman?
Yeah. Do you think it's just based on, you know, hearing me, hearing yourself? I'm not saying that I would do better than you, but do you think that you have to have, like, a sexy timbre, or would my voice be all right enough?
Oh, your voice would be great for it because you have a very youthful voice, and so...
Oh, I like
you
that.
Would last probably longer in this field than I will, because as I get older, my voice is going to sound a little bit older, faster.
Oh.
So you'd have that kind of youthful energy going forward for a longer amount of time. You have more staying power than I do, probably.
Again, we're talking to Jarman, who reads romance novels for, like, Audible and stuff like that.
Like, actually.
Yeah, like, actually. And getting a little advice, because I might do a little side quest into the romance novel reading.
Moke just wants somebody to let him know if his voice is sexy or not.
Hey, why not? Okay, so coming up, probably not when I go, hey, what up?
Good morning.
Coming up next, we're going to give Jarman some lines and see how test his sexiness.
Okay.
How sexy can he be with some lines that aren't that sexy?
Do you think he's going to do better than you did yesterday?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Do you think that he's going to be more sultry?
He has a deeper voice at the very least.
We'll see how he does.
Coming up next on B96. Yes, I can see. So we're talking to Jarman, who is a sexy book reader. All right?
Yes.
He reads audiobooks, romance novels, as Carla says, smut books.
Yes.
And he's given me a little bit of advice of what it takes to do that as, like, a side quest. Now, Jarman, we have sent you some non-sexy lines, and we would love for you to read them in a sexy way.
Oh, okay, I got you. Let's go for it. Your Mariano's order got submitted, or substituted. Let me start that one again.
Yeah.
Your Mariano's order got substituted, but don't worry. I inspected every avocado personally before accepting them.
Oh, wow. Mm. Did you hear that sound on the bottom of the desk? Just kidding.
Whoa.
Okay, next line. I'm kidding, obviously.
Carla knocked her headphones over.
A little more aggressive sometimes.
All right, next line.
Look at me. I rotated the laundry before it got that weird, wet smell.
Wow. You're so good.
Thank you.
I like the way you read. It makes me
thanks, Carla.
Want to imitate this voice as well.
Well, there's lady romance novel readers too.
But something tells me that the ladies aren't doing this well.
You might be good at it if you could get like serious and not giggly. Mm-hmm. You have like a rasp.
I do.
Well, don't do that voice.
Don't do that one. Okay, next one.
Yeah,
next
the ladies
one.
Have to do the male voices too, and so there's some ladies who are very good at it.
Oh, interesting. All right, next line.
All right. I put the leftovers away before bed. Future us is going to feel so taken care of.
All right.
That was smooth.
And you know what? There's nothing sexier than that.
Cleaning?
Somebody remembering leftovers in general?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Okay.
All right, here we go.
This one changes directions, but we'll see.
I cleaned out the toddler cup that had milk sitting in it for an amount of time we do not need to discuss.
I think the content...
It's hard to make that one sexy.
Yeah. I think the content makes it less sexy. All right.
I just need you to know something. I already took the chicken out to thaw for tomorrow.
You had my wife at thaw. Never introduced my wife to Jarman. Very impressive, by the way.
Wait, why don't you try it? Why don't you try that last line? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just need you to know something. I already took the chicken out to thaw for tomorrow.
That was good.
Wait, that was good.
That was really good.
But because I know you, this is so funny to me.
Say it one more time. We're like, you really, really need her to know this so badly.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. Oh, coaching. Okay.
Yeah.
I just need you to know something. I already took the chicken out to thaw for tomorrow.
Oh.
Hey, if I can impress you, then I'm winning at this.
I think you need to be a little more breathy, but also.
A little more breathy.
I don't want to hear it.
That's fair. I cannot, by the way, I cannot look at you two in the face while
I know, I know.
Jarman, thank you so much. What an interesting career. What's your Instagram?
It's at Jarman Voices.
At Jarman Voices. Very insightful and very fun. Thank you for taking a few minutes to be silly with us.
We're feeling sexy.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Can you do us a favor and go, B96, the rhythm of Chicago?
Absolutely. B96, the rhythm of Chicago.
Ah! Job now.
No, literally.
We have to be sexier, guys. Sexier.
Yeah, we got to double down. Thank you, Jarman, and have an amazing day.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot.
It's B96 with Mogan and Carla Mornings, and we want to save the Cubs and the Wrigley Rooftops some money. Because there is apparently going to be a legal battle. And what's going on is, so Wrigley Rooftops, if you don't know, basically it's all the houses that are around Wrigley Field that have seats on top of them, so you can kind of watch with a bird's eye view the games, and they sell tickets, and there's in some instances the Cubs get a cut of it and some they don't, right?
Well, they had a cut of it. They had an entire agreement that until 2024 the Cubs would get 17% of the revenue of whatever the Wrigley Rooftop sold.
Sure.
But in 2024 that deal expired. And the Cubs said that they did not want to renew because they wanted all the revenue that could come from their games.
Yeah.
But the Wrigley Rooftops did not stop selling tickets.
So they're just selling tickets. People are watching the games from the rooftops of those houses.
Correct.
Meanwhile, the Cubs are like, hey, this is our game. Which, fair. And this is why we need you at 877-591-9696. We're just going to settle this here now.
Yeah. So, you know, why go to trial when we could just have the people of Chicago vote right now?
You know, because in my mind, I think your rooftop means nothing if the Cubs game isn't there. Nobody's going to go sit on your roof to watch the street.
Right, but it's their rooftop, so anybody can go hang out up there if they wanted to.
Oh, so you think that the rooftops should get all the money from whatever they put on their roof?
100%.
But there would be no, they would not sell anything if the Cubs weren't there.
Well, it's not their fault that the Cubs decided to build a stadium in the middle of a neighborhood where people already own homes.
In 1908?
Yes.
877-591-9696. To me, like, I would love to put some seats on my roof and sell tickets. But you know what? There's nothing for them to see.
Right.
So without a Cubs game, they got nothing. There's no, like, enticement to do this. Let's see what Arnold on the North Side says. Arnold on the North Side, are you Team Cubs or Team Rooftops?
Arnold?
Oh, sorry. I didn't pick up the line. Arnold, are you Team Cubs or Team Rooftops?
Rooftop all the way.
Rooftop all the way. Really?
Yep. Yeah. If this was a problem from day one, it would have been settled from day one, which is what, 100 years ago? And then at what point did it stop? If you have a Lakeview condo and you see races on the lake and you can enjoy it and people can come and sell tickets to come inside, I mean, it's endless. It can go anywhere. So, but if the Cubs want to buy out the properties, by all means.
Right, and the thing is that the Cubs have bought out many of the properties, but there are some that are holding out, as they should, I think.
As they should.
Like, if somebody comes to offer me some money for my house when I know that they're going to make more, I'm like, I don't know.
And I fully believe the Cubs can afford to be outrageous on their offers.
That's right.
So if someone doesn't want $1 million, they give them $2 million. What do you care?
Well, that's easy for us to say, people who just don't have millions. All right, but officially,
No, we're talking about the Cubs.
The Cubs.
All right, officially you say your team Rooftops, all right? That's one for Rooftops. Let's ask our pal David Moody. So, David, you have a solution for the Cubs.
Well, the Cubs could just build some sort of a screen, call it a net, call it whatever you want, but that would also be pretty petty. But that would be a solution.
Oh, you think they should obstruct their view?
But I'm Team Rooftop, and I think the Cubs need to work this out.
Oh, you're Team Rooftop.
Pretty simple.
That's two for Rooftop.
Yeah. Well,
because it's hard to root against the Rooftops, because I do think that they're like the little man here. Cubs, I got so much money. I know how much they're paying PCA or PRP. What's his name?
Are you talking about Pete Crow Armstrong?
Yes, there you go. PCA.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
All right. Well, that's two. So if we get one more that says Team Rooftops, then that settles it.
Let's see. What do we got?
Okay, you know what? Shannon is in Gary, Indiana. Are you Team Rooftop or are you Team
Cubs? Oh, she hung up.
Okay, all right. Then let's ask Tony in Rogers Park. Team Rooftop or Team Cubs?
Rooftop all the way.
All right, Rooftop all the way.
There we go.
The Mogan Carla Mornings Mafia majority. What is your thought process there?
Well, do you know how many free tickets Cubs gives out?
Free tickets the Cubs gives out?
Yeah.
That's true. I've gone to a few free Cubs games.
Okay.
Yeah. And how much do you think the people with the Rooftop will charge? Cubs have some money. They have money.
That's true.
And this is my Rooftop. What can you do about it?
Wait.
You can take your game to Arlington Heights in the bush.
Wait, is it your Rooftop, or are you saying, like, hypothetically?
No, it's my Rooftop. I live in the area, and I'm telling you, it's my Rooftop.
Oh, so you have a Rooftop?
Yeah, I live in the area, so my building has a Rooftop. Sometimes I go and stand there and watch the game.
I might be changing my tune, but Tony.
You should invite us to your Rooftop.
Can we catch a game from your Rooftop?
See, that's so interesting to get your perspective, because I guess that is kind of true, right? It's like, as a homeowner, I own not only the home, but the roof on it.
Yeah.
And whatever views I happen to be around, you can't control that.
Interesting.
Because I imagine that also living near Cubs Stadium is also kind of annoying.
Living near Wrigley? And not even near necessarily.
It is annoying. You can't even find a parking space. You have to go round and round and round.
That would probably be the most stressful part, is like the amount of traffic that runs through that area. They're closing Addison all the time. They're closing Clark Street all the time. The game ends, and then
there are drunk people everywhere.
Yeah, it's Tuesday night, and it's 11 p.m., and people are raging in the streets. Yeah, that would maybe be the most frustrating part of living in Wrigleyville in general. Thank you, Tony, for your feedback, all right?
All right.
Thank
you.
I'm going to grab this one just to wrap this up, because it's the most. We're talking about the beef between the Wrigley Rooftops and the Cubs, and how the Cubs should get a piece of that money, or at least they believe they do. Now, James lives in Wrigleyville, and you think the Cubs should move to Hammond, Indiana with the Bears.
No.
Yes, I do. I think that there are all those places that are Rooftops now used to be apartments and homes that people lived in. And now rent rates go up because there's less homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would love to live at least close to Wrigleyville.
But it's expensive.
I wouldn't want to live, like, in Wrigleyville because of the chaos. But, right. Yeah, but it's so expensive over there, and that's a good point. But, I mean, what are we just going to say?
Don't even get me started on how bad parking is, too, because everybody's busy renting theirs out to people for Cubs games.
It's true. Yeah. We've seen people that are renting out their parking spot for $100.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
But
so you just want to send all the sports teams to Hammond, Indiana, huh?
Make it Indiana's problem.
Wrigleyville will survive.
Yeah, Wrigleyville will survive. It probably won't be Wrigleyville anymore. It'll just be the Ville. I don't know. Well, thank you very much for that, James. Have a great day.
You too.
Alright, coming up next, give us 3.5 minutes. We'll get you on the phone for Can't Crush Carla and a chance to win $1,000. It's Mogan Carla Mornings, commercial free.
B96.
Can't Crush Carla.
Can't Crush Carla, brought to you by Planet Fitness. Maya in Old Town is going to play today. Maya, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're good. Excited that the weekend is here. Why don't you start by throwing Carla out of here?
Let's do it. Bye, Carla.
Okay, bye.
There you go. All right, so it's going to be 5 pop culture questions, Maya. Get more correct than Carla. Crush Carla. We'll toss you $1,000. All right, we're going to start with question number 1. Team USA Paralympian Beatrice Hatz will be part of Love Island USA Season 8's cast. She competes in track and field and has won a bronze medal for the 200-meter race. What do they call the house where the contestants stay on Love Island USA?
That is the, I don't know.
All right. Question number 2. Tristan Thompson says he got a vasectomy at Khloe Kardashian's request. He has 4 children by 3 different women, and he said, I have enough baby mamas, I don't need any more. Which Kardashian sibling did Khloe have a spinoff show with? Just name one of them.
Kim.
Hello. Just name one of them. Name one of them. Name one of them.
Kim Kardashian.
All right. Question number 3. Lady Gaga and Bad Bunny have the 2 highest grossing tours of the year so far. Gaga grossed $236 million. Bad Bunny has made $230 million so far. Where was Bad Bunny born?
Puerto Rico.
Question number 4. The Cubs beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 10-4 yesterday after suffering a 10-game losing streak. What song do they sing in Wrigley during the 7th inning stretch?
Take me out to the ballgame.
Question number 5. Spencer Pratt claims that Leonardo DiCaprio and Jamie Foxx both support his run for L.A. mayor. Which former MTV reality star is Spencer Pratt married to?
She is married to Heidi. What is her last name? Montag.
All right. Let's get Carla back in here. While Carla's on the way in, you just started DJing. Is that right?
I did, yeah.
Okay, let's have some fun with that. So I obviously can't have you DJ live on the radio, but can you do some of the, I don't know, make some noise or something like that for us?
I don't do the vocals, but you got some. Let's go!
But you could. All right.
I could.
So, Maya just became a DJ.
Oh, my gosh.
She just started DJing, is learning how to DJ. So
oh,
very
that's
exciting.
So cool.
Well, I was studying for boards. I needed a hobby, so that was what I did.
Did you buy turntables and the whole bit?
Yeah. Cheap ones, but not cheap, like $300.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
All right, welcome back, Carla. So, 3 correct for Maya in Old Town. Let's see how you do. Question number 1, Team USA Paralympian Beatrice Hatz will be part of the Love Island USA Season 8 cast. She competes in track and field and has won a bronze medal for the 200-meter race. What do they call the house where the contestants stay on Love Island USA?
The villa.
The villa.
A hot new bombshell has entered the villa.
Yeah, question number 2. Tristan Thompson says he got a vasectomy at Khloe Kardashian's request. Which Kardashian sibling did Khloe have a spinoff show with?
Kourtney?
That's correct. Yeah, she was like, you, my friend, need a vasectomy.
Was it Kourtney and Khloe Take Miami?
Yes.
Was it?
It was Kourtney and Khloe Take Miami in New York.
There you go.
Question number 3, Lady Gaga and Bad Bunny have the 2 highest grossing tours of the year so far. Gaga grossed $236 million, Bad Bunny with $230 million so far. Where was Bad Bunny born?
Puerto Rico!
That's correct. correct.
There we go.
Question number four. The Cubs beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 10-4 after suffering a 10-game losing streak. What song do they sing at Wrigley during the seventh inning stretch?
Take me out to the ball game.
I recently found out that in that song, it says, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I always thought it was plural, Cracker Jacks.
I thought it was crackers. Please, Jack, buy me some.
It's definitely not that. But it's Cracker Jack, singular. It's buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. Huh?
Oh. Well,
doesn't make any sense.
What if you wanted more than one bag of Cracker Jack?
Yeah, I guess they just want one. Question number five. Spencer Pratt claims that Leonardo DiCaprio and Jamie Foxx both support his run for L.A. mayor. Which former MTV reality star is Spencer Pratt married to?
Spencer Pratt. He's married to Eva Longoria.
Absolutely not.
No,
he could never get an Eva.
I don't know who Spencer Pratt is.
Heidi Montag is the answer. They were both on The Hills together way back in the day.
And sure.
He's running for L.A. mayor, I guess.
If he wants to.
All right. 4 for Carla, 3 for Maya. Unfortunately, Maya, you know what that means for you.
Yeah, I might have
flown out,
and I did not crush Carla today.
No,
not today.
You
but you can come back and try again. We play weekdays at 7:50.
All right, so this will return next week, but enjoy your weekend. Thanks for playing along with us, all right?
Thank you.
All right, it's Usher now on B96.
B96, is it a match or a mistake? With Moog and Carla Mornings.
So Chris in Melrose Park, you got the perfect girl, but there's something that's keeping you from moving the relationship forward. What is it?
She's my best friend's wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that'll do it. It's a mistake.
Well, how?
On top of that, my best friend died last year also.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, wow. So your best friend passed away and this is his wife.
That's, I see. That's a predicament. Okay, so were you interested in her when he was alive?
I mean, I remember the day he introduced me to her, and it was like 2010,
mm-hmm.
and we met at the Rainforest Cafe in River North.
All right.
And she was just stunning. I just couldn't believe it. I had a crush on her right away, but I never flirted with her or said anything while, you know, he was alive. It was just too awkward.
And did you never told her this?
Not at the time, but right. Since then.
And he never knew that you were kind of pining for his wife.
No, not at all. Oh, I never even said anything, but.
Okay, wow.
Now, yeah, it's very awkward. Now, see, I've kind of let on that I feel this way, and.
How does she feel about it?
She's, you know, has the same feelings that I think that she's worried, like I'm worried, like what other people are going to think.
Well, yeah, I guess I can see that, but I also could see like we got to treat this tenderly because there's a death involved, but in a death situation, like you are both really missing the same person. Obviously this is your best friend. This is her husband. And then if feelings come, that's very complicated.
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea what to do.
And so but you've been like interested in her since day one.
Okay, that's the part that's a little funky to me because I understand both of you grieving your best friend and her grieving her husband, and maybe that's how you connected. But you saying that you've always liked her does kind of give it like you've been waiting for this moment.
Well, have you been waiting or did you just respect your best friend enough to leave that alone?
There was no waiting. I was just tried to close that door in my mind.
Right. You can't help who you interested in, I guess. And obviously you weren't hoping that your best friend would die.
Right, of course. So you just shut that door. You're like, okay, this is just never going to happen. And he found a great person and just be happy for him, you know.
Okay, so he passes last year, and I'm so sorry that that's the case.
Yeah.
And now you and your now deceased best friend's wife are finding yourself in this situation where you have interest in each other, and it's, you know, at least a little bit reciprocal, but you want to know if this relationship is a match or a mistake. I think a lot of that is going to depend on how much you care about judgment from other
people,
other friends and family.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I cannot relate. I think that this is a very, like, complicated situation.
Yeah, also, like, it I don't know what you believe in the afterlife and whatnot. People have different thoughts, but he knows. He's watching. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Okay, so if you're just tuning in, it's Chris in Melrose Park. He is really interested in this woman who just happens to be the wife of his best friend who passed away last year. And it's one of those things where he kind of always had a thing for her, but he shut that down, blocked it out, never tried to make a move
was
or anything.
Yeah,
he was respectful. And now, you know, they're also grieving this best friend and are I think bonding and now there's interest there.
And it has been a year.
Can this relationship be Can this relationship be a match, or is this a mistake? I would hate to see two people who maybe could be great together not be together because of the fear of judgment of others. But also, like, are you ready for the judgment that may come?
Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of it.
Yeah.
But people are allowed to move on, and we don't know. Who are we to say, right? I think it'd be really interesting to get the opinion of people who perhaps have had someone who they've lost in life.
Yeah.
But we're very, very curious. We do want to help you out.
Yeah. 877-591-9696. We need to hear from the Mogan Carla Mornings Mafia. Is this a match or is it a mistake? It's B96 and Match or Mistake with Chris in Melrose Park, who is falling for his best friend's wife. Here's the kicker. His best friend died a year ago, and now they seem to be falling for each other, but obviously there's some guilt there. There's some feelings there that, like, oh, is this, can you have a relationship with this person? Like,
right.
Is that so wildly inappropriate, or would he appreciate that in some way?
Right, because, you know, they're comforting each other, and then we're trying not to judge. I guess I put myself in
the
deceased shoes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let me tell you how much I wouldn't appreciate that.
Well, I guess it depends. Were you pining for her? Well, he was. You know what I mean? He liked her the whole time.
He must have found her attractive.
Jabaka in Arlington Heights, you say it's a match. Why?
Well, the thing is, she's a widow. As a wife, she's done her duty. All right, and it's been a whole year. I just heard that. I'm sorry. It's been a whole year, you know, and this is coming from a person who I just buried my dad this weekend.
Oh.
And my parents were together over 60 years.
Wow.
Okay. You know, and not, without trying to get too religious, we're given free will. All right.
Okay.
And they're covering each other. They're, you know, it's been a whole year. You know, that it's not like they were running around behind the guy's back. And I'm sorry, if I really love somebody, I don't want them to be alone for the rest of their lives after I pass.
Right.
So yeah, it's a match.
That's a good point.
And also, first things first, Jabaka, we're so sorry that your father passed. I mean, that happening just this weekend is so soon. So we're really sorry. We don't want to just glaze over that. But I guess you're right. When people pass, and I guess I hadn't thought about it that way, she completed her duties. It is till death do us part.
Right.
And I guess at that point you've parted. But at the same time, like, man, that's somebody so close to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But best friend and widow, I mean, they were all close.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, I don't know the guy, but me personally, I'd be glad that, you know, it's somebody I know, somebody that we both trust. We don't have to worry about something horrible happen later on down the line.
Well, and I guess I can see, like, you know, him and then the wife, they're both bonding over this great loss together.
Right.
You know, at one point.
Yeah,
like you do maybe turn to each other for comfort. Oh, it's crazy. Thank you very much, Jabaka, for that. And have a great day, okay?
You too. Thank you.
Dwana in Merrillville, you say it's a match, and you know a couple that kind of went through this.
Yes, I do. And it is a match.
So was it kind of the same deal where, you know, the person died and then the friend and the person got together?
Yes.
Oh, man.
But it was the wife died and the girlfriend and the husband got together. Because, I mean, who knows you better than your best friend's husband? I mean, you spend a lot of time together, you know, doing kind of things. You get to see each other at their worst, at their best. And it's better than marrying some stranger you don't know anything about.
Yeah.
And besides that, you know, death cuts that duty of, you know, marriage that person no longer has that bond with them, but you can go on and live a happy life. I mean, there was a little bit of, you know, people talking, but they got over that, and they're perfectly happy.
Yeah, that's another side of that, is you're going to have to, yeah, really think about, you know, the conversations that you're going to have with people, whether it's, you know, warranted or not, the conversations that you're going to have. And
right.
You're going to face a little bit of judgment. Duana, thank you very much for that. That is really interesting. And this is one of those things that's just like, it's so complicated.
Right.
Like, this is not easy, you know.
Had they met under different circumstances, but they also did meet under different circumstances. Mm-hmm. And hadn't chosen each other initially.
Yeah, 877-591-9696. Can this be a match or is it a mistake? Also, we're going to check in with our pal Chris again coming up next on B96. It's B96 with Moog and Carla Mornings and Moog's Mega Minute coming up at 8:40. A chance to win $1,000 if you answer 10 trivia questions correctly. Now we have Match or Mistake with Chris in Melrose Park, who is falling for his best friend's wife. His best friend passed away, unfortunately, a year or so ago. And now him and the wife are kind of falling for each other. But
or the widow.
I guess you say widow, yeah.
And the question is, you know, is this weird? Because I know a lot of people's first initial thought is, man, that was your best friend's wife.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is, do they both also deserve to continue to find love?
Yeah, and would you want your wife to be with somebody that you keep in high regard if you passed away?
At least.
Or your significant other. You know, everybody who called, by the way, said it's a match. So shout out to everybody. There was nobody who was really mean or anything about this situation.
Right, because we want to tread lightly.
Yeah, Grandma Debbie said it was a match. But what do you think after everything you heard, Chris?
You know, after hearing what everyone said, I really feel like it could be a match.
Really?
I think that, you know, there's something there for sure. And I respect, you know, my friend, even though he's no longer with us, like I would respect her as well. And I think that he would be happy that we're both happy.
Yeah.
I think he'd want us to be happy.
Yeah. And I think as far as everybody else is concerned, you just got to block him out.
Yeah, exactly. I can't live my life according to what other people think.
Yeah.
You know in your heart what your intentions were, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I do hope that you guys are able to find comfort in one another, and that respect is always at the forefront of it. Just, you know, be prepared that some people may not agree with your decisions or hers.
Yeah, and that's a tough situation. I don't envy it, but I hope that, you know, I would hate for you to miss out on love. So, obviously, we are wishing you the best, my friend.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Show us what you got so you can win. Moog's Mega Minute Man.
10 questions, 60 seconds. It's time to play Moog's Mega Minute Man. Hi, Sabrina and Carol Stream. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
We're pretty good. It's Friday. The weekend is here. It's going to be warmish this weekend, and we want to give you $1,000. You down?
Yes.
All right, let's make it happen. 10 trivia questions, 1 minute. You just have to get all of them correct. We will start real simple with this one. Which cereal has Tony the Tiger as a mascot?
Frosted Flakes.
Correct. Which company created the iPod?
Apple.
Correct. What is the Spanish word for 8?
Nueve.
Incorrect. Which movie features the Sanderson sisters?
Cat.
Which animal is said to have 9 lives?
Cat.
Correct. Which U.S. president appears on the $20 bill?
Oh, man. Cat.
Where is the Loch Ness monster rumored to live?
Oh, God. I don't know who this is. Cat.
Who was the first lead singer of the band Queen?
Oh, wow. I'm doing that.
Yeah. All right. What color is the black box on an airplane?
Black.
Incorrect. Somatology is the study of what?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. That is time. All right. So let's go through the ones that you either passed or got wrong. All right, Sabrina, we'll start with what is the Spanish word for 8?
You were close. You said nueve, but it's ocho. So you had said 9.
Yeah. Which movie features the Sanderson sisters?
Hocus Pocus.
One of my favorites. I'm sorry. I'm one of those Hocus Pocus peoples.
No, that's great. People love Halloween.
I do love Halloween. Which U.S. president appears on the $20 bill?
Andrew Jackson.
Where's the Loch Ness Monster rumored to live?
Scotland.
Who's the first lead singer of the band Queen?
Freddie Mercury.
What color is the black box on an airplane? Didn't know this. It's not black. It's
orange, so that it's easier to find.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. Somatology is the study of
the human body.
Yeah. So, all that to say, you did not win Moog's Mega Minute today, nor did you win $1,000. But, Sabrina, we enjoyed having you on, and we're excited that it's the weekend, huh? Do you get the weekend off?
Yes.
All right. There you go.
Well, at least that. So, enjoy it, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you.
All right, and just a reminder, we do this game every single weekday at 8:40. 96, show us what you got so
you can win Moog's Mega Minute. Thanks to DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE or youraccidentattorneys.com.
Now, who has a little victory to celebrate? 877-591-9696. Feel free to call and share it with us.
And this could be anything at all. This could be maybe that you got a new car. We talked to someone this morning at like 5:30 a.m.
He was having a Hyundai Tucson delivered today.
Today.
Yeah.
That's a great little victory. Or it could be something like it was your last day at school and you're having a pizza party.
Yeah, I will share that I'm very excited for Monday. I'm taking Monday off. Me and my wife both took the day off. It's our daughter's first day of daycare.
Yes.
Full day daycare.
So a little scary, but very exciting.
Very exciting. We're going to drop her off at daycare, and then just me and my wife are just going to have a day on the town. Just like having fun, doing stuff. We're going to go to eat places that would normally have like a long line on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And just go like, it's John and Stacy's day off is what we're calling it.
Are you going to have a few mimosas?
Probably.
I hope so.
Yeah. Have some drinks, have some fun. So
there
that's my little victory.
That's such a little victory. Getting a day off when you didn't expect it is amazing.
Yeah. What about you? 877-591-9696. Little Victories is next on B96. You know, Eminem actually produced the beat for that song?
Well, he's on the song, isn't he?
He's on the song, but he made the whole beat.
Oh, wow.
Which I just recently found out.
Isn't Akon also, like, really good at making beats?
Yeah, they're both, like, superstars at it.
See, this was
Eminem's beat, and he was like, here, Akon, let's do this.
And then they smacked made a song. That.
Yeah, they smashed that as a hit. What, 20 years? It was 19 years ago. It's B96, Moog and Carla Mornings, and some little victories. We're going to start here with Ariana in Chicago. And apparently there is not just a whole crew, but a whole school. Who's there?
Hi! Yes, it's Ariana with principals, all the class, students. You want to, like, do a victory. It's our last day of school. I'm so excited to start the summer.
That's so exciting. What's the school? And can everybody give us, like, a cheer or a hip hip hooray or something?
Yeah,
we'll give you that. This is Bethesda International Academy and Principal Mark talking right now. Thank you so much for all of your support. And we wish everyone a wonderful B96 hot summer bash.
That's amazing.
I love it. Well, we love it.
There we go.
How many people are there listening right now?
Well, we got 20 more. Everybody's coming in.
I mean, we'll go out in the street and get more if you need it.
You know what?
I think we're 96. You don't need any more.
You know what? I was just curious. You know what? We're so glad that you guys are there. Enjoy the last day today. Live it up and have a great summer, huh?
It's going to be amazing.
Hey, thank you.
All right. We love you guys. Have a
good day. Love you. Bye.
Love you. What a vibe. The last day of school. You know what? You don't get a feeling like that ever again in your life.
We talked to a teacher the other day who it was their last day of school, and we were like, is he making the kids work today? And she was like, absolutely not.
And as she should, queen.
Last day of school is the absolute most fun vibe. Sophia in Hammond, Indiana. So wait, is today your last day of school?
Yes.
And so this is your last day of second grade, which means after today, you're going to officially be
in third grade.
Yay!
That's so exciting.
Sophia, what's one thing that you're really, really excited about for third grade?
Is
it
Having a new teacher.
Having a new teacher, very exciting. Yeah, third grade is when math turns up a notch or two.
Oh my gosh, or three.
Yeah, I remember third grade. They were like, we're going to really add in some multiplication and some fractions and stuff. And you're like, oh.
You're like, whoa, whatever happened to Allie had two apples?
Yeah. Well, Sophia, congratulations, you third grader. Enjoy, okay? Have a great summer.
Okay, but I have one more. It's my brother, and he's going to kindergarten in this school.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, congratulations to him. What's your brother's name?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, congratulations to both of you. You're both entering such new chapters of your life. Yep. Third grade, kindergarten. Have the best summer ever, Sophia.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Irene in Willowbrook, your daughter, Nina, you're celebrating a little victory for her. What is it?
Yes, she was chosen today to be a house leader for her class.
Oh.
What a house leader. Kind of explain that to me, because I don't remember having houses at school, just classrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they break up the middle school, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, into houses, kind of like Harry Potter.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, and they have to create, write an essay on why they deserve the spot, why they think they should be a leader, and there's, a ton of kids that apply. And
that's so cool.
Chosen.
So for the whole, basically, the whole 6th grade or 8th grade class, she's the leader.
Right, so she represents the her house, which is Esadarius, and
it's so cool.
She was not sure she was going to get it. She's like, Mom, there's so many kids. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And
she did it.
Nailed it. I pulled over and in the car, and I was screaming.
No.
excited for her. Yeah.
Is this for the next school year? So next year she's going to be an 8th?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Man, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations, Nina.
Starting her leadership career now.
Yes.
Thank
you.
Thanks for sharing that. Have a great weekend, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's so cool. They got divided into houses.
Yeah.
Do you know your Harry Potter house?
No. I think we did this once. And okay. I was not Gryffindor. One of the nice ones. Hufflepuff? Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I'm not a Harry Potter person in that way. Tiffany in Chicago, your daughter, Madeline, is going into high school next year, huh?
Yeah, she just graduated on Tuesday, and just a little victory for our entire family on both sides between all of our teenagers. We had 6 or 7 graduates.
Ooh, 6, 7! I love that. Oh my gosh, you must have sat, and I mean this so kindly, through so many boring ceremonies. So Tiffany, the little victory is that you made it through that.
Yes, and our pockets are hurting from all the parties and all the gifts.
Lays? When did we start giving them Lays with money? It used to just be Lays with flowers.
Yeah, I didn't have that at my graduation.
Exactly. But it's been really wonderful to see them, go through this milestone and just excited now for the next chapter, right? Because these next 4 years are going to be so life-changing for them, so we're really excited.
Well, we're very excited for you and your family and all the graduates, and hey, congrats to the class of, I guess that's 2030 or something like that.
Oh, wow. Yes, it doesn't even sound real.
Yeah, heading into high school. Thanks for sharing that. Have a great weekend, okay?
Thank you. Congrats to all the grads.
Congrats to all the grads.
Yes, congratulations to the class of 2026. We got to go. Gloria in Evanston is there. She says her daughter has 5 days left of school. Enjoy those last 5 days. Enjoy your weekend. You said it's supposed to be warm this weekend, right?
It's going to be so warm and amazing this weekend for anyone who's running the Miche 5K. I will also be there.
See Carla out there at the Miche 5K. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.